Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gamer gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Every single generation has a Genesis. Yes.
No.
And with us is Matt Murray. How you doing, Matt?
I'm great. I'm back. I can't believe that Sonic trailer actually came out today, and it wasn't like a fever dream that we all collectively had.
We also have Joe with us. What's up,
Joe? My eyes are burning. I can't unsee what I saw, and that sucks.
It's like SpongeBob, you know. I caught the ugly. You look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. My eyes. Or like in the bathroom, he goes, okay, let's let Kalai commence with the ceremonies.
I will say one positive thing about the trailer. Sonic really does not look that bad. The rest of the movie looks fucking awful.
Joe, that's the one good thing you have to say is that Sonic doesn't look that bad?
I don't think he does.
Go, what? He looks like a fucking Smurf fucked a Pikachu, and then they like shoved a ferret in there somewhere.
Maybe.
No.
Okay, guys. For those of you that are new to our podcast, this is a conversational podcast for gamers, by gamers, about gaming. Today we're going to go ahead and talk about the VR for Nintendo as they're trying to get into the VR market. Now let's get some housekeeping out of the way though first. If you do like us, please subscribe and rate us. You can check us out on Twitter at GameStuffCast, our Facebook group, just search GameStuff Podcast. And if you'd like, we do have a Patreon page. Just go to patreon.com/provengamer. Now, let's get our podcast started as we always do with what have we been playing. Roberto, what have you been playing? Anything good this week?
A lot of great stuff. I'm going to keep it quick this week. So, we're going to start off with the PlayStation 4. And Actually, you know what? We're going to start off with the Nintendo Switch first. I've been playing a game called Air Conflicts the Collection.
Sounds exciting.
You cashed that in, didn't you?
Yeah, it's I know it sounds generic, but it's actually pretty cool. It's Calypso Media, the guys behind Tropico and Sudden Strike 4, they've actually made a bunch of these smaller games called Air Conflicts. It's a World War II or, historical air combat video game. They're nice stuff. There's like
I'm wrong. It's not about clowns.
I wish it was, Kalai, because it would probably be better.
Where'd you get the clown thing from?
World War II clowns.
I said Air Conflicts Collection, not Air Clowns.
Oh.
I was just guessing clowns, so I never heard of the game.
Clowns in World War II.
No, I'm sure there were, but anyways, okay. So basically, it's a bunch of World War II video games. They're actually two games on one Switch cart for the price of $39.99 MSRP at GameStop, and 50. Also, you could redeem 50 coins as of right now for the Mario Nintendo eShop coins, and it's good fun. It's like it's there's not really a lot of flight games on the Nintendo Switch right now. There's a handful. There is one other thing that's literally called World War II Dogfight. And then there's also like a space shooter called Manticore, which actually I really want to get. But there's really not a whole lot of flight games. It's actually nice if you're looking for a World War II flight game. Both games feature their own campaigns. I'm playing Air Conflict Secret Wars, which is where you're a mercenary in between World War II. And you're flying around and striking targets, taking down aircraft, ground targets, bombing runs. I made it to Russia today and I took out a Soviet Union factory. And so it's pretty cool. And but it's like two games for the price of one. It's on the all in one Switch cart. It's pretty neat. I think it's definitely worth the price. And especially if you're looking for, you know, a World War II flight game, because it's way better than what was that one game? The Sky Gamblers, because that game, they did not do anything for that game when they ported it to the Switch. But in any case, not bad. Pretty cool if you're looking for a World War II flight fix. The next game, I'll go quick here. They're pretty short. My Memory of Us from IMGN.pro. Anyone heard of that?
That's a game title?
Yes.
That sounds like a shitty emo band.
No. It's My Memory of Us is the name of the game.
It sounds like a shitty emo band.
Oh. I said the publisher like really quick, so
we are My Memory of Us, and we're here to make you sad and stuff.
Scott Pilgrim versus
so sad.
Yeah.
So
sad.
It's actually a really neat game. I'm working on that right now. It's a side scroller adventure, not like with light puzzle elements, not point and click or shooting or anything like that. So it actually takes place in like a fictional but realistic city. That's kind of themed to World War II, but it's not World War II. And you're a young orphan boy, and you're just doing your thing, and then you know you get in trouble, and then you escape from the police, and then a young girl rescues you, and of course brings you into her family, and you have a heartwarming level of family and adventure and things like that. But then this is a war, and eventually the enemy gets to the doorstep, and now these two have to survive this conflict, occupation, things of that sort. It's done with a black and white setting with the color red being the big highlight. The reason why, I have no idea. I'm still trying to figure that out. It's done like, you know, in a Sin City sense. But the best part of this is that the game has voice work, and it's a narrated voice from Captain Jean-Luc Picard himself, Sir Patrick Stewart. So Sir Patrick Stewart actually narrates the entire game, and it's just really nice to hear him because, you know, he's an amazing actor and person, and he was Captain Jean-Luc Picard in Star Trek Next Generation, and hands down, he's hashtag my captain. So, you know, so it's like, it's actually really neat. So far, so good. It looks to be a short game because, like, there were some puzzles I couldn't figure out, so I looked up a guide, and somebody clocked everything in, like, 2.5 hours, so... But at the same time, I think it's definitely well worth it because it's just a nice storytelling game. It has enough puzzle and adventure and in some cases a little bit of action. So, but there's no real sense of violence or anything like that. It's just a nice, cool, friendly story. So I'll try and finish that up later on this week. And then next, don't hate me on this, but Senran Kagura Burst Renewal.
Those games are awesome. No idea what the fuck you just said. Those are my guilty pleasure games.
So here's what happened. I don't want to spend any money on video games until at least too many games. Because I know that once they're going to have some things I'm going to really want to get. And I'm going to probably, you know, I do spend money there. But it's worth it because you find the games you're looking for and the money goes directly to the vendor. And these are like local mom and pop shops. So I like that. But lately, considering all the discussion about certain characters and Sony PlayStation censorship policies and this and that, I was like, you know what? Let me see about the Senran Kagura stuff. And I actually got the Vita game, and the Vita game's actually a lot of fun to play. Albeit, yes, it's very M-rated. Do not play this in like in a public setting. This is the kind of thing you play like to yourself, unless you happen to have friends that are into this kind of thing. Now
I can't really fault you because I mean I did run around getting panty shots to get a 100% trophy there.
Oh yeah, I have to work on getting the platy for that. The Senran Kagura Burst Renewal was actually technically the first game. It was actually released on the 3DS, and then they remastered it to 60 frames per second for the PS4. I was on GameStop and I realized they had a limited edition for like $40. And I went to GameStop at the Monmouth Mall, and I felt, like, really embarrassed. Here I am buying, like, an M-rated game, and the guy, like, looks, he's like, ha, 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 oh, my gosh, you got a good pick here, man. I got to play this. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, you know. So, it's a little awkward, but I was like, okay, cool, he digs it, so fine. And it came with a soundtrack, art book, and stuff like that. So, Senran Kagura is an M-rated samurai action, well, shinobi action video game, I should say, in which you are a bunch of, you're one part of an elite school of very anatomically disproportionate, busty women who, they fight. They use their shinobis. They kick, they slice, everything. They, and when they activate their shinobi powers, they go into a full-fledged Sailor Moon-like transformation where they show a lot of skin. And the objective when facing your opponent is to fight them, and their skin literally, their clothes literally shred off. So it's a guilty pleasure. It's outrageous. The story's actually not bad. It's actually based off a manga, I think, in an anime. And it's fun. It's silly fun when you're tired of fighting through a war zone and fighting through the grays and browns of combat and things like that. So, and then last game is a quick one, Jupiter and Mars. That's a brand new PSVR video game that just came out from Tigertron Studios in New York. It's actually basically Echo the Dolphin, but in VR and with two dolphins. And it takes place at a time where, you know, humanity has left for the stars, and there still is like a level of pollution, and the Earth forgives, but it's trying to come back, but it needs some help. So these dolphins go across the mysteries of the ocean to take out pollution. So like Captain Planet, the video game, but you're a dolphin. But it's really, really nice, wonderfully well lit, colorful. The music's great. It's simple gameplay. There's no real like enemies to fight or anything like that. It's you know, and it's a very immersive game. I still have to try it in VR, but it's a really, really nice game. And you know, and it has a nice environmental message as well. So it's like, it's kind of like WALL-E in a sense. And that's it for me. So we'll so normally we bounce to Kalai because it's just the two of us. But since you guys are here, who wants to go first?
Why don't you go ahead, Joe?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I played a lot of PS4 this week, like a shit ton. Like a metric shit ton.
So are we talking Jeff Goldblum Jurassic Park? That's one big pile of crap. Or are we talking?
Yeah, no. I played a lot. I played like all day Saturday and like the majority of Sunday. So like
good. So what was it?
So the first game I played was Mortal Kombat 11.
Oh my god, how is it?
It does not disappoint.
I gotta buy it.
So after I did my first fatality, I instantly saved that shit as my background on my PS4. Because they're just so epically, like, insane. Like, I guess, like, Katana, like, spins in a... Andy posted the video. She, like, spins in a circle with her katanas. Yeah. And she, like, pulls you in. She pulls your intestines in and then goes like this and blows you to smithereens.
Yeah. And it's insane. I saw that thing. Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. I know a lot of people are bitching and complaining about all the microtransactions in the game, but, people, like, it's Mortal Kombat, and they've had the crypt for, like, almost 10 years at this point. Like, you know what you're getting into. If, like, honestly, the only people that really bitch about it are the people that, like, want the skins, which are mostly the fighting game community, because they don't want to have to fucking unlock things to their babies, and they think they should just be able to pay, like a premium price to just unlock everything because they don't want to do work. They just want to play with the skins they want to play with and play competitively. They don't want to actually have to earn anything because that's not what they're there for. They're there to just play the game.
I've looked into it a bit myself because even though I haven't bought the game, you know, every once in a while something like this will pop up where just somebody puts microtransactions in a game and people kind of get up in arms, and it's either, you know, rightfully so, or kind of there's literally no reason for it. And this seems to fall in the latter camp where, like, it just seems like a game that's giving you content to unlock for you playing it. Like, it doesn't seems a little grindy, but like, it's a fighting game. You're going to play it, you're going to grind it, and you're going to get the things. Just, I think it's fine.
The point is, it goes back to that instant gratification thing that our society seems to have these days where they don't want to work for anything in video games anymore. They just want to hand it to them. It's like, oh, like, I remember, like, we used to love when shit was, like, unlockable. And, like, I know that's, like, when Ed Boon talked in an interview, he said, like, people were bitching and complaining that we didn't put enough things behind unlockables. That all the characters were just unlocked when you start the game. And now they're all bitching that they have to do things. Like, it's like, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yep.
I know Dustin Legere from IGN had a Twitter post where he was literally, like, you have to like play for like he was bitching because he was playing He was playing the game, and this is a legitimate complaint. He was playing one of the towers, and they're timed. But they're timed from, like, when they start to when they end. If you're in the middle of one, you don't get the rewards if you finish after the timer runs up. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And apparently they just patched it out, or they're going to patch it out, because they already, like, they got enough complaints already. But other than complaints aside, microtransactions aside, it's a fantastic game. I'm probably about, I would say, like, 20% through the story, because I just don't want to blow through it. Because I could probably do it tonight, but I'm taking my time. So I'm loving it so far. The character arc is really cool. The way they do the, like, the old characters coming back to face the new characters is really interesting. Because when I first saw that the story was, like, old meets new, I was like, this is fucking stupid. Like, it just seemed like a lame-ass story for Mortal Kombat. Like, there's just so much they can do in the Mortal Kombat universe to, like, go back to the old characters again. It's like, I kind of I kind of wanted to roll with, like, Cassie Cage and, like, the new era, basically, of Mortal Kombat. Like, as much as people hated on them, I liked them because it ushered in a new era with new characters. Like, and it's fine if you're going to make, like the DLC all old characters, I'm fine with you having, like, the new characters as, like, the main stars of the game. Just give me the old ones in DLC. Don't be giving me fucking Spawn. Like, did you see the list of DLC for the game?
No, not yet.
It was god awful. It was like Spawn, apparently it leaked, and it was like Spawn, Joker, and like two, and like another person that's not in Mortal Kombat. And I'm like, they really need to get away from these like guest appearances.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's just annoying. So like, stop wasting character slots. Like,
or like, give me a new, an actual new character.
Yeah,
like a new Mortal Kombat character.
I mean, Collector's awesome. Collector is a cool character. Cool. He's a four-armed dude. Like, he's kind of like a gremlin.
Yeah.
But he's like the collector of, like, Outworld. He's pretty cool. And you see him in the crypt sometimes. Like, you can buy shit off him in the crypt. But he's, like, super rare. Like, he only shows up, like, every once in a while.
He's like the guy from Destiny. You have to watch him on Twitter to see when he shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, combat.
Except this game's better than Destiny 2.
Well, yeah. No, duh. I mean, I'm a longtime Mortal Kombat fan, so the only problem I have with the game is it's slowed down to all hell. Like, they slowed this game down immensely. Like, do you know how, like, in the last one, Matt, the combat was kind of faster paced?
Yeah.
It's a lot slower now. They slowed it down.
One of the opinions I saw, and, like, it actually made me feel a little bit better about picking it up, because I'm so bad at 2D fighters now because of how fucking quick they are. And for them to, I mean, they took out the run button, which is a little weird, but, like, for them to slow the combat down and make it a little bit more strategic, I think was a good move. And it'll allow a wider audience to get into them, because, like, even, like, Injustice was, I loved those games. But they were so fucking quick that, like, as soon as you wanted to be even remotely competitive with it, it was, like, impossible to play online. You just get stomped.
Yeah, and, like, another big change they made was they changed up how the, it's no longer called an X-ray. It's called, like, a fatal blow.
So those crazy moves. Yeah,
so you can only do it when you have, like, 20% health left. And it actually, like, shows you, like, on, like, the blade of your, like, health bar, where it, like, dips, and that's where your 20% line is. So it, like, cool. So you can, like, see where it is. But you can only use your fatal blow once per match period.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, you better fucking hit it, because if you don't hit it, you're screwed.
Yeah, you can't fucking
hit it. Is that, like, Injustice?
That's where they took it. They took it originally from Justice, put it in Mortal Kombat X, and now they brought it back in 11.
Okay.
Yes, that was one of the features they created in Injustice, in the first Injustice.
And brought it over.
And they brought it over to Mortal Kombat.
So, what else have you been playing?
I picked up Days Gone on Friday. Fantastic game so far. I know, like, a lot of people were hating on it because it got really poor reviews, but I'm really happy with Days Gone. Honestly, like, I played for, I think, like, maybe, like, 6 hours so far. I beat, like, a bunch of the campaign. But I'm also, like, stopping to do all the side missions. But the side missions are, like, those, like, clickable side quests where, like, you can, like, put waypoints to them. Mm-hmm. And everything, like, everything has a percentage. So it shows you how far you are through each side quest. But the side quests, they're fun. I'm digging the game. I'm digging the whole aspect of, like, You can't just plow through shit. Like, you have to, like, strategically think every step through that game. Because if a horde comes, you're screwed. Because you don't, you can't fend them off. You don't have enough ammunition. Like, you will die.
The one major complaint that kind of concerned me about it wasn't really anything to do with frame rate or some glitches that people had been experiencing, but that a lot of people felt like if it were just like a post-apocalyptic like biker game, sans zombies, like without zombies, it actually would have been better off, and it felt like the zombies were like stapled in as an attraction because the world felt kind of empty. What do you think? Do you think
the world is definitely kind of empty, but you got to think of it. If it's zombie infested, it's like Walking Dead. There's nobody fucking left. Dude, it's days right. gone. It's not days here.
Like, then plus the other thing, I mean, I haven't played the game yet, but I do own it. But what I gather is that they're not even so much zombies. Like, if you ever saw I Am Legend, they're more along the lines of creatures with their own metabolism,
they're fast as shit.
You know,
they're like fucking 28 Days Later zombies, right? They're like rage zombies.
Yeah, they're called freakers in the game, and they're like super fast and super like aggressive. And it's crazy because like I got to this one mission where I had to like turn a power generator on, and then they respond to the sound. Because when you turn a power generator on, it turns on the whole power generator. And the power generator has like emergency broadcast speakers on it, which automatically like broadcast this fucking symbol, this signal. And you have to like tear down the speakers so they don't come and get you. And you have to do it quickly because if you don't, then you're fucked. But I had to turn a power generator on, and I was stuck inside like this, like I guess like the facility that's where the power generator is. I can't remember what they're fucking called. They're like the technology labs. Where like it's where you go, and if you go in the briefcases, you get the upgrades for your character. So you can upgrade your health, your stamina, or there was one more. I can't remember. But there's three things you can upgrade. So far I'm loving the game. Like I said, I'm like 6 hours in. But I woke up on Sunday and I was like, you know what? I haven't played Days Gone yet. I'm gonna put it in. So I put it in and I just played for 6 straight hours. Like, it was that good.
Yeah. Wait till it drops down and grab it, because I like, just for some reason, nothing about that game had impressed me until the reviews came out, and like some people, it seemed like it was like a pretty divisive, like, it's not definitely. Like everybody is saying that it's shit and everybody is saying, or everybody saying that it's good. Like, it's like 50-50 down the middle. Like, people either love it or hate it.
It's definitely a quick game. It's not I'm not sensing that it's a long game at all.
Yeah,
because I sat and played through like a good chunk of like one of the story quests, and I don't know how many more like unlock as you play through, but it's definitely cool the way the campaign works, and the way you like can fast travel pretty much anywhere after you unlock certain places. You really don't have to bike around if you don't want to, but it behooves you not to because you have to get resources.
Right.
Like, in every trunk in every car you, like, go up to, you can, like, use your square button to, like, jimmy open the trunk and take out the bullets and take out whatever you need and whatever's there. Cool. Yeah, it's really cool the way the game was set up. And, what am I at? Finally, I played a bunch of games online. I played Dead Rising 2. That was fun.
Oh, good.
I haven't played it in a while. It was on sale for the Golden League sale. It was, like, $6. So I picked it up.
There you go.
My buddy had it, and he's like, "Let's play co-op." And I was like, "All right." So we started playing co-op in that game, and those games are fun. They're just a barrel of fun.
Especially with somebody else.
Oh, definitely. I wish they would patch in multiplayer for the first game, and you can go back through the first game and play it in multiplayer, because the first game was really good. What a great game!
It was like stupid hard, but once you got it,
well, it was like, broken. Once you figured out that you could just keep like saving the first 10 people in the game and dying, and just keep leveling up that way, and then you just run through the story after that.
Yep,
this is literally all you have to do. And what else did I play? I played Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Got all the online trophies in that.
Oh, good.
In like two sittings. Wasn't that hard. I'm still going through trying to get all the character endings. Just fucking taking forever. It's just a grind at this point. And then the last thing I played was, I picked up on the Golden Sale as well, I picked up Nonary Games. So 999. And Virtue's Last Reward for PS4. And those games are phenomenal. If you've never played them, you should definitely check them out. They're story-based games, but basically just Saw. For lack of, like, the easiest way to explain the Nonary games is it's just Saw. It's Saw with better writing.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I love those games. So, like, Kalai questioned me, like, today when I told her I got them, and she was like, why'd you get them again? And I was like, because they're that damn good. Oh, well, Kalai, they're
I couldn't get into the second one.
Well, they're fully voiced now on the PS4. Like, everything's voiced over.
Yeah, they're on Vita, and then as the Nonary games, and I actually have the copy. I have to still work on it, but, like,
are they voiced?
It was actually pretty good.
Are they voiced on the Vita, too, or no?
Yes. Well, like I said, I got the Nonary games collection on one cart.
Oh, okay. And, the first and the second
so
one,
it is English voice as well, so that's one advantage there. But anyways, all right, sounds good.
Man, I played a lot of shit. Let's roll on to
Matt.
Let's roll on to Matt.
I was going to say, I want to know what Matt's been playing.
Not a lot.
I didn't think so. That's why I was doing you last.
Is the baby alive?
Baby is still alive. Right. He can actually crawl now, which is pretty fucking crazy.
Sweet, dude. He's getting there.
Yeah, no, it's pretty nuts. And he says a couple of words. It's pretty nuts. And he can eat himself, which is kind of nice.
That didn't sound right.
That did not come out right.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, he can, like, I can give him a waffle. I can give him a whole waffle, and he'll eat it.
Does he just eat it with his hand?
Cut it up or anything. He just, like...
walks around and eats it? Yeah, that's what my dog
does. Sometimes. Yep. Part of the reason they haven't particularly been on the podcast a bunch is just I don't have time to do much. I've been managing to sneak in, like, 15 to 20 minutes of, like, The Division every once in a while, which is, you know, I'm level, like, 17 or something like that.
You playing 2?
Yeah.
How are you liking it?
I like it a lot. I mean, a buddy of mine kind of convinced me to get it when it launched, and out of the games as a service type games that have ever come out, I think it's the most complete package that anybody's ever released. Like, it feels feature complete, which is nice. It's not a Destiny 2 or a fucking Anthem or anything like that.
No, it definitely feels like they work on these games long enough to make sure that it's an actual game, and then they add on to it as it goes.
Yeah, and I feel like from the get-go, it just feels like there's enough content to kind of keep me going for a while, whereas, like, even Destiny 1 back in the day, I'd get through it and fucking, you know, I got through it in, like, a week, and
there was
had nothing to fucking
content.
Do.
Yeah, like, that. Yeah. I mean, 2 is better now. I've actually been meaning to play the Forsaken pack, because that's,
okay.
like, a big expansion, but
it's
yeah,
not
but,
great.
Like, yeah, but what a sad ending for Anthem, because it looks like at this point, it's
kind of dead in the water.
Forget about even dead, it's sinking.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
I just
waves.
I think that nobody aside from apparently Ubisoft has figured out the keys to that castle yet.
Wait,
you know,
who made it?
They really
again?
Do seem EA.
Oh, wait, did they release
or BioWare?
Well, technically EA. Did they release another game in between a window where they shouldn't release it and it failed because it shouldn't
Weird.
Be released there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know my favorite thing about Anthem was the E3 2017 presentation. Apparently, like, a bunch of the developers saw the presentation, and their response to it was like, oh shit, is that what we're making? Because nobody fucking had any idea what the fucking game was that they were making. And so they put together this presentation, and that was the first time they kind of saw the parts of, you know, the whole of all the parts that they were putting together. But yeah, but besides The Division, which, you know, pretty good for what it is, I beat Katana Zero over the weekend.
Damn,
and that was a really
great.
Fucking good time. And it was a fucking, it was such a good game.
Is there any more stuff
I can't
to
recommend
do?
That game enough.
Is there anything else to do after you beat it?
You can, like, go back, there is. I haven't figured out how to trigger part of the after the end yet to be vague enough to get you to play it, but not exact
spoil
enough
it?
To spoil it.
I'm gonna get it. So
and then,
I mean, it's Ninja Gaiden-esque, so I'm definitely
yeah.
Get it.
And then you can go back through all the levels because of the mechanic where it's, like, recorded. Like, everything happens. So it's technically like a tape recording, and you can see into the future and turn back time or whatever. So every, like, room you do, when you die, you don't die. You just go back in time and try to figure out a solution to the room correctly. It's really fucking cool.
but you can go back and kind of try to kill people more efficiently and such. It's really fun, and I would highly suggest it. The music is dope. It seems Ninja Gaiden-y, but it's actually more of a puzzle game than anything.
Really?
Yeah, like, it is totally like an action game in a kind of a platformer, but, like, the time mechanic and how quickly all the action can happen and how quickly you can die kind of gives it, like, a Hotline Miami-esque puzzle quality to it.
Interesting. That's an interesting aspect. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, it's a really good game. I would highly suggest it for everybody. You guys should all pick it up. And that's really it. I have not been playing it. You're not going to pick it up, Kalai? What? Mm-mm. Why not?
I played it at PAX East.
Oh. And you were bad at it?
Yeah. Very bad at it.
Yeah.
Very bad at it.
At least she's honest.
Which game did you play?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Katana Zero.
It's not easy, but yeah, it is fucking so rewarding.
I actually played that at PAX West 27 last year. I loved it because it was futuristic Kill Bill, the music,
kinda,
the violence, the absurdity. Yeah. It wasn't as tough as, like, you know, I mean, people, of course, make the comparison to Hotline Miami. And I guess it's inevitable, but...
I think it is as tough as Hotline Miami, especially by the time you get to the end. I think it's harder than Hotline Miami, actually.
Yeah, because, I mean, I felt myself enjoying it more than Hotline Miami 2, because I liked Hotline Miami 2, but you would just get the Phantom Sniper off-screen shoot you. I mentioned that in the last episode when I was talking about God's Trigger. You try and play the game, and you're trying to, like, methodically think what you're going to do, and mm-hmm. then just
and
one bullet just... And then it's like, you have to start from the beginning. It's like, God damn it. So
Now, this is the same, except you don't have guns. You only have a sword.
Yeah.
So, like, things mm-hmm. that are shooting at you. So maybe there's a guy that's going to come punch you, right? And so you slash him, but timing-wise, the guy behind him who has a gun, who's also seen you, is going to shoot a bullet at you. So you have to slow time down... and time your slash to kill the guy who doesn't have a gun with the bullet that's going to come at you eventually so that you can kill the guy who doesn't have a gun and deflect the bullet back at the guy with the gun at the same time. Oh, and then the two guys upstairs, like, hear you and come down. It's like,
holy
there's
shit.
All these, like, weird chain reactions that happen. It's fucking so cool, man. It's a really good game. And the music is dope. And the story ends up being really, really fucking cool, too.
I'm going to definitely check
and
it out.
And I don't want to ruin it, so... But yeah,
there is
really
post-game content coming for that one too. So
I cannot fucking wait. So anyway, I'm done. Kalai?
I have been playing a little game called Vamporeon, as I am addicted to the game. I'm already on level 5. It's a dungeon game. It's a dungeon year, Joe. So you would love this game, and it's set in a steampunk world. It's very puzzly.
What's it on?
The combat is hard. Everything.
It's on Switch?
It just came out for the Switch. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, it's on Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. And PC.
Vamporeon, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Where's my
Oh, it's like a traditional dungeon crawler?
Where's my Switch?
Like, tile by tile?
Yes, tile by tile,
oh,
yes.
Shit. Where's my Switch?
And you know what? It's very good because you can pick up and put down for a busy person like you, Matt.
Fuck.
I have it on the Xbox... And because I have it as a review code.
Oh, well, there you go.
I got it as a review code.
So, all right, I'll forgive you.
And I kind of wish I had it on the Switch because I'm like at work. I'm like, oh, God, I wish I could.
See,
I could wish I could
now
play
you
right
can
now.
Give the developers that sweet, sweet money.
No, I'm not going to do that because only because I'm like halfway through and I don't want to have to go through the puzzles again.
Got it. You did it once. You can do it again.
Some of the puzzles I did have to look up, but the developers have been really good at... No. Let me explain. The developers have been really good at giving hints without telling you how to work the puzzle. So today I had a situation where I thought I knew what I had to do, and when I looked it up, the developer confirmed I knew what I had to do, I just had to find where to do it. So the Steam community's been very helpful with that. You can customize your gear in the game. And on top of that, there's a story. And the story's told through notes and recordings that have been left behind. So if you find the recordings and read everything, you get the story, which I think is, I'm really intrigued by the story. So Vamporeum is this thing in the middle of the ocean. It's very steampunkish. And you wake up, you find this thing and you wake up in it. And you don't know what's going on, so you're trying to figure this all out. And so the story unfolds as you continue down the levels. What else have I been playing?
That game makes me want them to bring Legends of Grimrock to the Switch.
It'll come.
Which is like, it's like a, pretty much the same type of game, just a high fantasy instead of steampunky.
The only problem with this is that the controls aren't as good as if they're on, say, a computer.
Right. It's definitely, those type of, like, the tile-based dungeon crawlers are totally made for, like, PC. That's kind of where they originated anyway.
Yeah, so the only other system I've ever seen a good dungeon crawler work for is 3DS. Because I'm currently playing, I picked up Eternia Odyssey again, started playing again, and I got to Stratum 2 finally.
Nice.
Good.
And then I stopped and went back and was doing different quests in Stratum 1 to finish that up.
Yeah, you gotta finish one at a time. Just finish one at a time.
Should I finish all the quests in Stratum before I move on?
Well, here's the good thing about finishing quests. You get a lot of experience for doing them, so yeah. I would say just finish up as many as you can before you move on. Because you're gonna need those levels in case you run into anything that's ridiculous in Stratum 2. Which there's some ridiculous things in Stratum 2, but... Are you playing the remaster of the first game, or are you playing the original, the DS cartridge of the first one?
I think I'm playing the remastered, the Millennium.
Are you playing the story version of it, or are you playing the original version of the DS version? Because it's both are on that cartridge. Because one tells the story of the Millennium Girl, and the other one has like no absolute story.
I don't remember which one I picked.
Are you playing the one with the cutscenes?
I haven't seen any cutscenes, but I don't remember. I haven't played in so long that when I picked Jesus it up again, God. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get down the basement to floor 5, and then I realized because I had to go down the stairs that I was peering at. Yeah, so I was like an idiot, and it all came back to me.
Those games are great, though. Again, really fucking pissed that the third one will never come here. And well, not that it won't come here, that they were working on it and then they scrapped it. They were working on remastering the third one, which is the only one that's not remastered. They did the first one, they did the second one. The fourth one came out on 3DS. The fifth one came out on 3DS. And then Nexus just came out. But they were working on the third one like a year and a half or 2 years ago. And then they just like decided not bring it out. I was like, what the hell? I want them all.
So I don't know if I've been really playing a lot of anything else, because I really have been working on my game room.
No Monster Hunter?
No, we have to get back
to that.
Dude,
we should play on Switch soon. Like, it's been too long.
We should.
God damn it.
Dude, you had many sales to buy it. It was as low as, like, $30 the other day.
When?
At Best Buy, I think it was, like, $30.
God damn it. I'm gonna buy it someday.
I'll let you know when it's on sale next.
Yeah, we definitely have to go back and play that
Roberto,
game.
Roberto, did you pick
so
it up for the Switch?
At this fucking point.
Monster, no.
You should.
I will.
We're not
one of
very
these
far.
It's just, you know, like there's other stuff. I mean, I just got a backlog. I gotta get
there's
to,
other
get
stuff. You have a giant backlog.
Yeah. I think out of. I mean, I thought I had a backlog until I met you, Roberto, and then I realized that I think you have the biggest backlog out of anybody I've ever met in my whole life.
How much do you have, Roberto?
Oh my God, I would lose count.
His goes back to like PS2.
No. Count current. How much of a current gen backlog do you have? You probably have over 200 games, right? Probably over 300, right?
Well, according to my purchase, I have over 1,000.
Holy shit!
So, like, but part of that was like stuff I bought that was cross-buy on Vita in 2013, 14, whatever, and some of them are things that I beat, and then
that's still fucking insane.
Yeah, it's like
that's so many games.
I mean, there's so many, like, there's Nier Automata, there's that, I just bought the DLC for that, I haven't played
that
yet.
Dude, I have
yet,
so many games to play.
Doom.
Okay, let's get to our topic of the show, then.
Yeah. Alright, Kalai, what's the topic of the show?
The topic of the show is the Nintendo Labo bringing VR to the
Yeah, I'm on that Switch. I'm on that train. Whoever I clicked away from the screen, but whoever made that noise is correct.
That was me.
Yep. That's how I feel about it. Those are my exact Hey Cat. Those are my exact feelings on it as a whole is raspberries.
So let me give some background first, please. If you saw my notes this week, I have some good background.
Yeah, you do, actually.
I saw.
Okay. So we do need to have a Labo kit to take advantage of this, which retails for $79.99.
So cheap.
For cardboard. They did actually update Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey to take advantage of the VR.
What did he do?
That, however, I will say that's the one upside is that I guess the load times in those two games have gone down pretty drastically.
Yeah, they have. Holy shit. Legend of Zelda's like, I can send like one text message instead of like 17 now.
Anyways, but it's saying that they're very awkward to use their VR because there's no strap for the headset. So when you play, you have to hold it to your face. So anybody that's playing Breath of the Wild for more than 10 minutes, which is most of us, has to hold it
there. Just like there was no strap for the fucking Virtual Boy. So you see a pattern here, people?
Exactly.
See a pattern? Because I do.
And they haven't made any graphical changes to Breath of the Wild or Mario Odyssey. So when you do play the game, it looks like you're pretty much sitting in front of the TV really close.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. So point? Here's my question to you took the words out of my mouth. That what's the point? So what do you think Nintendo is trying to do with this?
Jump on that VR bandwagon that doesn't exist because VR is crappy and who cares? Like 3D movies are dead already. We're never gonna get virtual movies because that's just what the fuck. Why? Who would pay for that? Like I have a hard time paying $13 to see a movie because I don't think it's worth it anymore. I don't care how like. Big the experience is anymore, like yeah. It's just not worth it anymore because of how jacked up everything else is around it. It's fucking like I'm not spending $70 on cardboard to build cardboard to then not get a strap with it. And again, it's cardboard. Can I reiterate that it's cardboard?
Yeah. It's like cardboard. If you leave this on the ground and you have a flood of an eighth inch of water in your house. It ruins the whole thing. It's just going to be a soggy mess.
If you spill your cereal on your,
yeah, you're gonna on your have,
Nintendo
you're
Labo
gonna
VR kit.
Soggy ass headset,
you're,
bro.
You're done. You're done, bro.
Hey, man, you want to play Nintendo Labo VR? Nah, man, sorry. It's milked.
And how fucking dumb are you going to look playing like Nintendo VR? You're like holding it to your face like this
I don't know.
Like trying to play at the same time.
Well, the joystick cons actually just sit on the side.
I know they do. So you're like this. You're fucking playing like this.
What?
I wish people could see us because I'm literally twiddling my thumbs next to my face because that's how dumb you'd fucking look playing this.
No, like, you know, when I think about playing video games, I definitely think about holding my fists about a quarter inch from each side of my head and that being definitely how I want to play video games for like hours on end.
What about you, Roberto? What do you think Nintendo's trying to do with this?
Oh, God.
good answer.
So, there's probably something in the realm of human psychology where you make a mistake and you try to move on from that mistake, and you know that inevitably you have to face that the consequences of that mistake. So the mind tries to find an easy way out to mitigate the impact of that mistake. 20 years ago or more, Nintendo made a horrible mistake with the Virtual Boy. It was a system that only lasted 6 months.
13 games strong, baby.
Yeah. 50, not a lot of games. And it was a catastrophic failure. So in my opinion, this is Nintendo looking at VR, dealing with some bad memories and being like, we could do that, like a headset like everybody else. We already did, and it failed. What if we mitigate that to cardboard and strap it on your face?
You don't strap it on your face. You hold it up against your face. You can't strap it on your face because there's no fucking strap.
Let's take two pieces of shit. VR, and Labo and slap together with cardboard. like, come on. I can't right now. Like, I can't. It's worse than the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
No. I don't know. You gotta give me a minute.
Imagine Labo on this. Imagine Sonic the Hedgehog in VR on the lab on the Nintendo Labo.
Like, all right, from like a completely innocent perspective, right? I understand the appeal of the Nintendo Labo by itself, right? It's kind of cool thing you can do with your kids. You build some stuff. It makes the Switch interactive in a different way for a child. That's kind of cool. Whatever. But like trying to sell a VR experience, right? So like VR, I think VR is going to be around for a while personally. I think it's going to be its own niche of gaming, but that's what it is right now, is like it's sitting in this niche spot where people who have it will kind of swear by it, and then people who don't really have any interest in it. It's like there's a very specific amount of people who want it and people who don't, and them trying to capitalize on this in such a weird fucking way just looks bad.
It's like, hey, we have VR too. Like,
well, like, so no, they came in with the Switch, right? They came in with the Switch, and you're like, oh shit! Like, Nintendo figured out how not to be the weird guy in the fucking room with the other big two, because like they've now blown the doors wide open. And then they fucking walk in with this thing like halfway through the life cycle of the Switch, and you're like, all right, what happened, guys? Like, I thought we were moving away from being the weird guy, and then they fucking come in with like their giant party beer hat, and they're like, let's fucking do it, yeah! You're like, all right, calm down. Why don't you, can you settle down with your fucking face strapless VR fucking cannon?
I just don't understand how Labos last this long. Like, I don't get it. Like, they're literally, like, discounted to, like, $20 a piece, all those sets, at, like, Walmarts and stuff. I think they just marked them all back up because this came out.
I understand who they want to sell that to, but they've done such a terrible job at marketing it that I don't think that they're ever going to recover sub-brand. But like the Labo brand is not going to... It's not going to continue.
Go ahead.
Kalai?
I was going to say, I think it's pretty much to give kids an entry point into VR.
Kids shouldn't be using VR. It literally says you're not supposed to use it until you're 13 years old.
That's also true.
Well, yes, but it really isn't VR. So I think this is...
It still works like VR does, though. Like, it'll still fuck your eyes up.
Well, does it say on the Labo VR kit and not the Labo?
Actually, I think it does, actually. It's fucking Nintendo. They don't want you to play your 3DS for more than 3 hours. You gotta take a break.
I mean, like, that would be really weird, because what 13-year-old wants a Labo? I mean, you have a 13-year-old, and doesn't he want PSVR?
Me?
Yeah.
He uses it, but he's 12, so I mean... You know, he's kind of age.
Oh, okay. So let me ask you this. Does he want to play with Labo?
Absolutely not.
He says that shit's lame.
Yeah. He's a 12-year-old. If he was like 5, maybe he'd be into it. It's just lame. It's like shitty cardboard. Who wants it? I can print out things from my printer out of cardstock that I can buy from fucking Staples and fold some shit up, and we can have a good old origami time. I don't want to mix that shit with video games. I don't want to do it. It's not cool.
It's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick that... It's them going back to Waggle Tech. Like, it didn't fucking work, man.
It's like WarioWare fucking Shake It. There's no reason to take a good franchise and be like, yeah, we're going to make it so you have to turn your fucking Game Boy Advance. I don't want to do that. I just want to play WarioWare.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want my Switch to be a fucking dolphin or whatever. I just want to play video games on it.
It's the one problem Nintendo keeps having.
Wait, I'm going to send this image to you guys.
It's just the one problem they keep having is, like, they got to fuck with what works. Like, they're like, yeah, this game works. Well, let's put Star Fox works, but now let's put shitty controls in it.
Right, like, I would definitely pay 60 bones again if they just released Star Fox Zero and then just...
With better controls?
Yeah.
Or if they went back and fixed Kid Icarus Uprising and put better controls in it?
Right. Like, well, and even, like, I think it's safe to say that gimmicky shoehorn controls, that has been one problem to be
aware of
Nintendo. Like, like, for example, I bought Call of Duty Modern Warfare something-something... on the DS, but it was compatible with the 3DS, And, like, I had to use the fucking stylus to aim my gun.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I couldn't even... I'm like, what the hell? Who the hell designed this?
I got
like,
you.
Who buys I played Call of Duty on the DS?
I played, like, 100 hours of Kid Icarus Uprising, and my hands hurt so bad every day. Because, like, you're playing... Like, your hands are like this. You can't see me at home. But it's, like, this claw maneuver to, like, put your two... like pointer fingers up on the top of the like the R buttons to shoot, and then like you have to hold the 3DS weird because you have to use the stylus to like move him around and aim. I was like, this, well no, you move with like the analog stick or the pad, and then you you move your reticle to shoot with the stylus, but then you use the triggers to fucking shoot. So, like, it was impossible to play.
It doesn't work.
No. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, but you could play it with the new grip thing. And I was like, yeah, but the grip doesn't add an extra circle pad to the right. It's there, but they don't utilize it. I was like, what the fuck's the point?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. When you did that, all I could see was hear from South Park, crab people, crab people.
Look like crabs, crab, taste like people.
Taste like people.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure where Nintendo's going with this. I mean, hopefully they're successful, but I really doubt
it. Hopefully they just fucking stop.
I just think they were just better off with just making an actual headset, and I think they probably could pull that off. I mean, granted, don't price it at $200.
They'd
but
fucking
I
send
know,
cardboard,
something.
Bro. They'd be like, or here's maybe, your cardboard strap.
Like, for your or even like... Cell phones. No. You just put the cell phone in front. Like they could totally make a $100 headset.
Here's what I think. I think that nobody who is interested in VR wants this product at all, and nobody who owns a Switch that doesn't want VR wants this product at all. Because there are people who are VR enthusiasts, and if you're serious about using VR tech, you're not going to spend fucking any money on this stupid Labo kit, and you get a PSVR for like $250. Like, and it's a wonderful experience. And if you're an enthusiast, you probably have more than enough VR. Like, you probably have either a PSVR and, like, an Oculus or something, or you're going to wait for the Oculus Go. And there's no market for this thing. It's the dumbest looking position that I could ever imagine playing video games in.
That picture like, it just says it all.
It's not VR. It's, like, not... It's like a viewfinder.
It's like a VR fucking, light.
I mean,
do you remember those fucking things?
Yeah.
It does look like a fucking viewfinder. You're taking pictures. They should bring out a viewfinder game for it.
Yeah, where it just switches. It takes you back to the. You want to relive the 1980s, kids, and see pictures move one frame at
a time.
Here's
a fucking $30 fucking Mario themed.
It comes with a circle disc that you can put in. You don't even have to. You don't have to turn the Switch on to play it. You use the Switch just to hold it.
Oh my god!
I fucking hate this.
Why? It's like, why don't I have Mario Sunshine on my Switch, but I have fucking cardboard?
Yeah, you get a cardboard
so
VR
angry.
Holder.
And if they did make a fucking Mario Sunshine game, they would probably fucking put it exclusively for Labo. Because that's the way this company operates.
You play it only in VR.
Only in VR on Labo.
You can play it only in VR, and actually it comes with a Labo kit that makes you build the flood. And you control it by actually holding the two controllers inside the flood. And moving it like this, so you play the whole game with one hand with the Switch like this in front of your face, and the other one is controlling the flood nozzle.
Like a fucking scuba diver.
Yeah, man, it would be great. Nintendo knows its audience.
They can bring Abzu to the Nintendo VR. You can do the same move. You just scuba mask.
Scuba mask.
And you snorkel.
It sucks, man, because like, I love Nintendo, and I love the Switch. I think it's such a great product, and I think it, like, rebirthed them as a company. But, like, this is... It's just so stupid. Like, just don't fucking do this kind of shit.
This looks like it was made from the fucking people who thought that the fucking... Like, the 64 was a great system. They're like, yeah, we'll just put this shit out.
It'll be fine.
Stop.
Kalei, are you gonna buy one of these?
No, definitely not. I think I'll just stick with my Oculus. But I actually have a question. Roberto's a video game collector. Roberto, are you gonna buy it?
Hell no.
Would you buy it? Would you buy it? Would you buy it? when it gets to the Five Below bargain bin at Five Below.
No, because like I just remember the photos of people opening up the cardboard, and I'm like, I remember the good old days of assembling Legos and things like that in Kinects. I remember assembling this giant spaceship thing with my sister over the span of what felt like months. It was when Lego was doing like this aliens thing, and it looked like an X-Wing with like a radar dish in front. It was crazy. I'm just like, I probably would have the mental fortitude to assemble something like that, but just no. And especially like if you tear any of those pieces up, like for any reason or anything like that, or you throw something out, then you're screwed. It's just, at least with Lego, if you lose a piece, you can buy pieces. So, or just make your own shit, you know.
Or you know what? If you spill milk on Legos,
they're not.
You can wash them, and they're not milky and soggy.
Right.
The only. But if you spill milk on your Labdo, it's gonna smell like rotten dairy in like a week.
The only thing you have to worry about Legos is
you want that shit up in your face? You're like, oh yeah, you know what I like? I love Zelda and also sour milk.
Dude, the fucking Bosselwood planes that we used to like build from the dollar store out of those packages are cooler than this. Like,
yeah.
The only thing about Legos though is
fucking
that
Lincoln Logs.
That's deadly is that if you step on one of them, it feels like you've just been shot and stabbed and electrocuted by and bit by a shark at the same time.
I would rather step on 1 million Legos than ever hold this product up close to my face.
Wow. All right. That's our thoughts on the Labo and its entry into the VR system.
I'd rather play Xbox than buy that shit.
Oof.
How could they get in touch with you, Roberto?
Wait, but didn't we have people try?
Oh yeah, yes, we did.
Those comments were that real quick. Fucking great.
Yeah.
I am so sorry, guys. It is late. Okay, I am tired.
It's late 30.
Yeah.
Half past time to play.
Okay, so topic we are recording tonight. What are your thoughts on Nintendo Labo VR? Would you watch the Sonic movie in VR? Let's see.
No, I would not watch the Sonic movie in VR or ever, just as an aside.
Oh, straight up though, before you answer that, dude, that Persona 5 Scramble game is going to be fucking awesome.
Wait, you cut off. Did you say awful or awesome?
Awesome.
Yeah, it's Dynasty Warriors Persona.
It's going to be fucking dope.
Dinerstona.
That's like another 300 hours.
Can I give our listeners their due here? Andrew says, while I don't have a Switch, and this can't really speak to the quality of the Labo VR itself, I imagine it falls into the same camp as every other VR unit. A niche product that will have a small but dedicated fan base that won't hit the mainstream until a significant structural change, such as more live sports, concerts, changes the perception of VR to the masses. As for the Sonic movie, no. Shudders, just no. JT says, seems like a waste of time and effort. Also, Sonic is for furry anti porn hacks who make furry sex compilations. Stop supporting a dead franchise, you fools. Holy shit.
JT is my hero.
We love you, JT.
I'm clicking the like button over and over and over again so that he gets a million notifications to how much I like it.
Steven Fontana says, I think if you realize it's a $40 cardboard toy that converts a $200 tablet into a VR experience, your expectations should be in the right place. There is no way in a world where 600 plus units requiring a $1,000 PC to do VR can have Labo VR be anything close. Labo is a VR toy. PSVR, Vive, etc. are VR headsets.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the closest thing to the truth, but with that said, there's no fucking reason for this product. It exists for no reason. Nobody wants this thing. Even at like a discounted $40 cardboard toy, I would rather fucking go out and fucking spend $40 at Dave and Buster's. I don't want this product. I don't think anybody wants this product.
I'd rather have more Zelda content than this bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing I have to say with Steven's comment, I do agree with you. However, you did put the PSVR and Vive in the same sentence. I mean, really, the PSVR is closer to Labo.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get your PC elitist bullshit out of here.
Yeah.
And me personally, I can't wait to see the new Sonic movie.
You're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah,
you're gonna be the one fucking person in the theater by yourself.
I might join them because I don't know what's gonna be good about that.
You know what's gonna be good about that movie? The year of memes that we probably will get out of it.
And all the Razzies it wins.
I was telling Kalai, like, the thing about this is, yes, I don't know why they gave Sonic human teeth, why they messed his eyes up, and why they just, there's a rendering of a cartoon animated Sonic side by side with the furry one that we just saw this morning. And it's like, I can't get why they just could have just made him animated, just regular animated. Sure, it would have looked out of place, but so what? The thing is about this, based upon this trailer, especially Jim Carrey going back to regular 90s Jim Carrey with his role, is that this whole movie gives me the impression that it's so self-aware and so balls-to-the-wall crazy and so out there that even if it's bad, it has to be worth seeing in theaters. And then on top of that, at the end of the trailer, you see him look more like Robotnik and then, or Eggman, whatever, and he's surrounded by mushrooms. And I'm thinking, is this going to be Endgame a little bit, you know, like the rings are going to be like a teleportation device to.
No, he's going to get all the Chaos Emeralds and he's going to transform himself into his final form.
Super Sonic. Right. Like, exactly. There you go. Like, are they going to, I guarantee you they are going to spoof that, the Endgame and Infinity War with the Chaos Emeralds and shit.
These dumb fucking Sega fans are going to make comics, this money millions though. And God. Stupid fucking Sonic fans.
The levels, like the San Francisco, so you know the thing from Sonic Adventures is going to be in there.
Yo, they better play that theme.
I don't know about, people are hoping for Matt Pollock and Jameel White to hopefully have cameos. I'm going to see it. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm repulsed.
Yep.
I'm also excited.
No.
I'm also...
Nope.
Repulsed? Like, you saw my selfie? Like, I basically looked like the History Channel guy. Aliens.
The cool.
I don't think you're like, excited. I actually think you're not excited at all. I think you're intrigued to see what kind of a train wreck it could be.
The coolest thing in that whole entire trailer was the rings thing in the Paramount logo. That was fucking cool. And then the rest of it was just fucking downhill.
And I mean, the robots like basically look like Terminator Skynet things.
Robotnik.
That missile scene, yeah.
He doesn't look bad as Robotnik, but I don't buy him as Robotnik.
Like, he's just Jim Carrey as a mad robot genius.
Yep.
Like,
anyway.
Yeah.
Did you see the best tweet came out today because of
that
trailer?
Yeah, that shit was hilarious.
What?
Weird Al Yankovic said
They parodied his song. Yeah. Amish Paradise.
Right, because for those that don't know...
Thing, like, you pick Gangsta's Paradise for the fucking...
Sonic.
For that trailer? Like, what the fuck?
What audience are you trying to grab here? Weird Al Yankovic...
This whole episode is just full of nonsense.
Oh my god, the Sega...
For those that don't know, who are still listening, Weird Al Yankovic did a parody of Coolio's Gangsta Paradise.
Are we really going through this
Amish
right now?
Paradise, so.
Who doesn't know that?
There's probably people who don't know that. You don't know.
No, I don't think there are, Roberto.
That shit was famous.
I didn't know. That's his most famous song, probably. I just learned of it in August of 2018 when I was driving home from Otakon. Me and my buddy were driving out of Delaware to Jersey 3 hours straight.
Living under
this Weird Al
fucking
Yankovic, an hour and a half.
Well, this comes from the guy who just fucking watched Lord of the Rings this year. So, you know, like...
Also true.
Like, we gotta give the guy some credit. We're credit to...
And I still need to see Shawshank Redemption, and...
You can skip that. I mean, it's classic cinema, but I mean, did you see It yet? Did you watch It yet?
The new one, not old school.
Watch the old one.
At least not yet.
It'll make you appreciate the new one
Tim
anymore.
Curry.
You know,
guys, let's wrap this up. How can they get in touch with you, Roberto?
Real quick.
We are
well pushing the time here. Okay, you can find me on stackup.org, military video game charity. You can find me on But Why Though Podcast. You can find me on PlayStation Network at VectorMan88, Twitter at JetHuty88, JEHUTY, Instagram and Snapchat, MajorSloth1988. And that's about it. I will be attending Too Many Games in June of 2019. It's still a ways away, but I'll keep mentioning it because it's going to be the probably the best 3 days of local video games here on the East Coast. So, yeah, I'll catch you then. Oh, and then find me on Nintendo Switch if you want, but just let me know.
What about you, Matt?
On all socials as well as PlayStation and Steam, I am Missed Enough. It's MISTAHNUFF. Come play video games with me. That's it. The end. Don't play, don't do Sonic. Don't do that. Don't do it. Don't give them money.
What about you, Joe?
You can find me on PSN and Twitter at MrTMNT84. Don't talk to me if you buy this Labo bullshit. Like, so I'll, or if I find out you bought it, you're just getting unfriended.
Yeah, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
They can get in touch with me at Kalai21. That's KALAI, the number 21, on Steam and Twitter. You can get me on the Xbox at Miley, MAILE21, and on PlayStation at Miley1978. And of course, you can find us all in the Game Stuff podcast Facebook group, chatting it up.
Tearing apart Sonic and Labo.
Yep.
Yep. Posting some crazy ass memes and shit, because that's what we like to do. If you do like this show, you can check out our other shows. We have the Trophy Whores, and of course, the Nintendo Dual Screens.
Just check out Dual Screens.
We have a couple of sponsors. We're sponsored by Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal. It does help out our site. And of course, we're also sponsored by the Humble Bundle. So if you click on our link, go to humblebundle.com from our link and do your shopping like normal, get some cool cheap video games. You can actually help out our charity, which is Extra Life. I also want to thank our band, Take Away the Ugly, and of course Isaac Sego for doing our awesome logo. So thank you guys. You can check out their information in our show notes, so please check them out. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
Later, guys.
Be good to each other. We're living in a gangster's paradise. May the force be with you. Take care.
87 more days till Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm.